The springs are October 2007, sashing to a close, and I want to thank everybody for making an excellent effort. As I mentioned last night, I just couldn't be happier with the effort that everybody has made and the open-hearted practice I've seen at this sashing. So I want to thank you all. From the bottom of my heart, it's a pure pleasure to practice with people who have enlightenment as their goal. That's so simple. There's no ulterior motive. We don't have a temple, so you can't be scheming to take over the temple. We don't have any reputation, so you can't cash in on the name of our Zen group, because nobody's ever heard of it. So this is like pure practice, right? It's just people come just for the practice. And it's priceless. That kind, you know, you can have beautiful temples and, you know, lovely statues and paintings inside, and none of that really, none of that is really relevant. What this is all about is what actually happened here at this sashimi. People practicing the way diligently, hour after hour, and breaking through, having moments of clarity, moments of blue sky mind. So it's just a great pleasure. And I always tell people, you know, if you decide that Zen is not your cup of tea, I understand, you know. I run into people who stop practicing and they look like I'm going to hit them, you know. I don't know what gave them that impression, you know, but I'm actually very happy to see them. I'm just happy to see them. And if you decide Zen is not your cup of tea, next time I see you, I'll be just thrilled to see you, and I'll have the warmest memories of you and of our time we spent here at this session. But if you are interested in the way of Zen, I really can't wait until our next opportunity to train together, which is on the website. It's in January, okay? And some of you can't wait to leave, I know, right? You don't have to raise your hands. You know? I'd rather not know. But some of you probably regret that we're leaving, right? Because you think, you know, if I had one more day, I could make some progress on this koan. And that is true. You know, we've all climbed up the mountain, and for the first maybe four or five years, in many cases, a seven-day session is a lot to ask. So there's no hurry. But eventually you may really want to do it. And if you do, I'm at your service. So anyway, it was a pure pleasure. Thank you, and I really... If Zen is your thing, I really look forward to practicing with you again. So now we have a special event. This is, some of you were here a number of years ago when Jaru was ordained. And now this event is the ordination of Gary Grevas. who has been a member of our Sangha for 10 years, been practicing Zen for 10 years. And I had forgotten all about the ponytail. You know? But Gary used to have a ponytail. About a little more than 10 years ago, we used to have beginning night on Monday nights. And on a Thursday night, there were like 3 people or 4 people. And on a Monday night, sometimes I'd go and set up the cushions and start the tea and put out the cookies, and nobody would show up, you know. And then I'd put them all away and go home, you know. But one time, a charming couple came to practice. And it was Gary and his lovely wife, Joan. And they came to practice, and I think they were the only people there for a number of weeks running. Isn't that accurate? And we started with very short sits, right? Like 5 minutes, something like that? Okay. So we started with 5 minute sits, and I think you know, when we got to 15, you know, there was a sense of strain in the room. You know, those of you who have had the pleasure of practicing with Gary, I think, have been as amazed by the depth of his practice as I am, because I still remember this guy who came in with his ponytail 10 years ago and could do Zazen for about 7 minutes before cracking up, right? And now, you know, hour and a half, you know, hour after, in the morning, you know, doesn't move, sits hour after hour after hour, never breaks. Yeah, I think we're all deeply inspired by Gary's practice now, and I certainly am. So it's earlier I was talking in one of the teishas about how you might not think you're being changed by Zen practice, you know, because basically you're always going to the next level in Zen. So in a way, you're always failing for a while, and then you finally succeed after a great deal of work, and then it's on to the next level. There's no sense giving people easy koans, right? There's no sense, you know, you're working very hard, you're entering mushin. You've worked for 3 or 4 days so that your mind can be completely blank and able to observe the world. There's no sense my giving you a koan like, it falls off of trees. Go find something that falls off of trees. You could answer that koan easily, right? You could bring in a leaf or an acorn. But you don't have to do 3 days of intense Zazen to find a leaf or an acorn, right? So even people who don't do Zazen can find that. So Zazen is inherently challenging. We're exploring aspects of reality that ordinary consciousness doesn't encounter. So there's a lot of strain. So you might think, I'm not making any progress, but I'm sure Gary has gotten up every day and said, I don't know if I'm making any progress, right? I'm sure he says that now. I'm sure he will say it when he leaves tonight. Nevertheless, what an extraordinary transformation has taken place. So I myself am quite confident that Gary will make an outstanding Zen priest. As in the case of Jaru, I have no ambivalence about the decision. I'm totally confident this is somebody with deep roots in Zen practice. And so today, he is going to be ordained as a priest in our Cold Mountain lineage. So, Gary, would you like to bring your cushion over here and have a seat? So the first question I have to ask you is, are you a human being?
Yes.
Good. It's hard for people to admit that. Yeah, really. But yes, you can't be a god. If you're a god, out. If you're a forest-dwelling being, out. You know? If you're a nymph or a fawn, out. Okay. Have to be a human being, right? Have to be a human. So, yeah. Now, is there anyone here who can attest that Gary Grealis is a person of good character? Okay. Great. Would anybody in particular like to speak?
Yeah, I wrote a little something.
Okay.
Bear with me, it won't take very long. Gary has always been a spiritual seeker. Many years ago, he said to a friend of ours that there are many paths to take to find the truth, but you can only ride one horse at a time. He himself has ridden many horses, his traditional birthright Catholicism, not so traditional New Age universalism, mysticism, and even homosexuals. All of these somehow came up short of his expectations. 10 years ago, when Gary began sitting with Kurt, he found the path that he had waited for. And surprisingly, it had never been a horse, after all, but a cushion. This journey has changed him in many, many ways. As his wife, I know this, and these have all been for the best. And so I can easily say to you today that Gary, along with our son, who's sitting next to me, are among the finest men that I know.
Thank you. All right. So are you ready to cross this threshold? We have a... Now that we know you're human and that you're a person of good character, you have to make some promises. Okay? So please repeat after me. As the Buddha refrained from killing until the end of his life, so I too will refrain from killing until the end of my life.
As the Buddha refrained from killing until the end of his life, so I too will refrain from killing until the end of my life.
As the Buddha refrained from stealing until the end of his life, so I too will refrain from stealing until the end of my life.
As the Buddha refrained from stealing until the end of his life, so I too will refrain from stealing until the end of my life.
As the Buddha refrained from sexual misconduct until the end of his life, so I too will refrain from sexual misconduct until the end of my life.
As the Buddha refrained from sexual misconduct until the end of his life, so I too will refrain from sexual misconduct until the end of my life.
As the Buddha refrained from false speech until the end of his life, so I too will refrain from false speech until the end of my life.
As the Buddha refrained from false speech until the end of his life, so I too will refrain from false speech until the end of my life.
As the Buddha refrained from alcohol and all intoxicating and hallucinatory substances, I added that part, until the end of his life, so I too will refrain from alcohol and all other substances until the end of my life.
As the Buddha refrained from alcohol and all psychoactive substances until the end of his life, so I too will refrain from alcohol and all other substances until the end of my life.
So Gary is now, his Dhamma name will be Tai Do. This means Do is like Tao. In Chinese, so it's like path, a way. And Tai is like calm, it's a way of calm. So this is his Dharma name, this is the name that he, this is his goal in life, to fully realize Tai Do, the path of calm. And This is called a roksu. Roksu. This is what priests wear around their neck, and it represents the original robe of patches worn by Buddhist monks and nuns in ancient India. The word roksu means clinging child. So when you take the vow of priesthood, you are putting around your neck the Dharma, and you should protect it as you would a baby in your arms. Okay? That's very important. On the back of the roksu are words from the Diamond Sutra. He who seeks me in form, he who seeks me by sound, is going in the wrong direction. This is like always to remind us, this is our path is mu-shin, no form, no sound, mu-shin. So, priest Taito. You're my brother, and I love you. So, thank you. Now we'll say the four great vows, 457.